I tell you, I want to ask you to turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Now, I feel pretty weak this morning in preaching. I'm going to feel weaker tonight, I'm afraid, in the preaching. But I'm going to just try to give you what God gave me. I've got three messages in one message this morning to try to get enough together to say what I want to say one time. And so I'm going to try to preach to you three different messages and do my best to preach what God's laid on my heart. When you find Hebrews 11 and verse 5, you stand. We'll read our text together.
Amen.
Hebrews 11 and verse number 5. Appreciate the good spirit today. Good help from God. Hebrews 11 and verse number 5. The Bible said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our Father, thank you this morning now for the good Sunday school hour and the good song service. I thank you for the mothers that have come by our way today and made themselves present in the house of God. And Lord, I want to thank you for your presence, for your love, your mercy, your tender grace, your goodness to us in the land of the living. Thank you for the Sunday school hour and your help there. The Lord's Sunday school is behind us. And the preaching hour is before us. And we need that fresh anointing of God, that good liberty that only you can give, the help of the Holy Ghost. I pray you'll open up every heart today and help every soul today. Bless every child of God. Instruct us in the way of faith. I pray for sinners to be saved by the grace of God. And we'll thank you and praise you and love you for everything that you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you can be seated. Now, I started last week preaching what God, I believe the Lord would lead me to preach on chapter number 11, now the book of Hebrews, on the heroes of faith. And I want to follow these thoughts through and do my best to help the church, because the Bible said that the just shall live by faith. In fact, it says that three times in the Word of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 talks about how that we're saved by grace, and that faith is the conduit that brings grace into the grasp of sinners, that they can and will be saved. And so faith is something God wants us to understand. I'm afraid that it's misunderstood by so many. There's men today that are struggling to get into heaven through their own power. They'll never get there. There's men and women that are trying to get to heaven by their own works of righteousness. They'll never get there. There's men and women that are trying to get to heaven by doing good or joining the church or being baptized, and it'll never work. And then there's those that have made professions of faith that are trying to live, my friend, by the power of the arm of the flesh, and they'll never get there. A life that is begun or started by faith must be lived by faith. For the just shall live by faith. Now, in chapter number 11, the Lord, through the penman Paul and by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, gives us several illustrations of men and women that lived their life by faith. Now, I don't want to go back last Sunday, but he did say in verse 13 here that these all died in faith, never receiving the promises of God. So if you've got some idea that God's best is going to be enjoyed now, you've misconstrued the Scripture and what it really means. Thank God that He daily loads us with benefits. But God's blessings, His greatest blessings, are yet before the children of God. Buddy, the half has never been told. That's right, the half's never been told. The Queen of Sheba came to King Solomon, and she had heard about all of his fame and his glory and all of his wisdom, and she sat down and watched his ascent to the house of God, and how that he was waited on and served, and watched his servants spread the table that fed his servants every day, and saw his wealth and his riches. And the Queen of Sheba come to the conclusion that the half has really never been told about Solomon. Well, I want to say to you that the tongue of man cannot adequately describe the riches of God's grace and what God has in store for every born-again child of God. These can only be obtained by the eye of faith. If you ever want to get a hold of what God has done for you and what God has laid up for you and what is in store for you, it'll have to be done by the eye of faith. But it cannot be seen by the naked eye of man. Amen. We can look through the naked eye and see the stars and the moon in the sky. We can even look through a telescope and see the dark hole in the faraway outer spaces that the naked eye cannot even gaze upon. But I'll tell you, by the eye of faith, men can look beyond the stars and the moon and the sky, beyond the deepest, darkest place of outer space, right into the very throne room of God Himself, and lay hold upon all that God has in store for us that have been saved by His grace. Amen. Can you say amen right there? Amen. Now, I hope nobody's mad I ain't preaching on mothers. If you want me to, I can preach on mothers today. Amen. But now, when we come to chapter number 11, we find here God's order. I want to say to you that God has got an order. That's right. And anything that is not orderly is not of God. Amen. Anything that is confusing is not of God. He is not the author of confusion. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, I'm a tad bit confused about this thing about faith. Well, I tell you, your confusion is not coming from God. It's a coming from the devil. I'll guarantee you on that. He's the most confusing individual I've ever seen in my life. How can anybody that can tell nothing but a lie be anything but confusing? I tell you, tell lies soon enough, you'll be running around like a dog chasing your tail. You never get to catch it. That's exactly how the devil is. He's so confused, he's chasing his tail, he'll never get a hold of it. Amen. But God's got an order. And there is a spiritual order in Hebrews 11. Now, I'm not saying there is a chronological order there, although there is in the first four or five characters. Creation, Abel, Enoch, Noah, there is a chronological order there. That is the way the events were ordered in the Word of God. But that's not the order that God wants us to see this morning. If you'll notice here, He begins the order of faith. He begins it with Abel. And the Bible said that Abel worshiped God. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. And in doing that, Abel was a man that worshiped Almighty God. If you read Genesis chapter number 5 in the life of Enoch, you'll find there that Enoch walked with God. So where Abel worshiped God, old Enoch, he began to walk with God. And then if you'll read about Noah, Noah's faith, when he built the ark, condemned the world, Noah became a witness for God. Now, I want everybody to look right up here at me. That is God's order for His children today. Worshiping God, walking with God, and witnessing for God. I don't mean to sound critical, be a smart aleck, but I'm telling you that Jack Hiles and all that easy believism crap from the sword of the Lord and a lot of preachers I know, the first thing when a child of God is saved by the grace of God, they want to throw them right out into the heat of the battle and that's right, and command them to be a witness for Almighty God in their life. Hey, Brother, this ain't in my message, but I've seen too many men destroyed today by ignorant and stupid preachers that's got the idea that 2 weeks after a man's saved, he's got the ability to teach a Sunday school class or to be a superintendent of the Sunday school or to preach the Word of God. And they're yet a novice, friend, need to shut under God a little bit and learn a few things first. Amen. Some preachers, a man says, I'm called to preach. Well, if you're called, get out there and get it right now. My Bible tells me not a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, they fall into condemnation and a snare of the devil. I'm going to tell you something, church. Just settle the pew, soak up the preaching, and love God and worship God and enjoy the blessings of God in your life and on your family. That's right. First thing you young Christians need to do is get your families anchored in the Word of God. Anchor them there. That's right. Teach them the Bible. That's right. Soak in the Bible. Let me like a sponge. Read books. Read the Bible. Read what you can and soak up God in your heart and your life. And teach your family that. Everybody, people today think the only people who can serve God's a preacher. I told Brother Ricky over there a few weeks ago. I said, hey, I tell you what our church needs. Thank God for men that are called to preach. But I would to God, God had saved some men and ground them in the Word of God that they'll be not moved about and blown about with every wind of doctrine and be Christians at the house of God and be pillars at the house of God, holding up the arms of a man of God and be a blessing to the church of God. Amen. That's right. And there's an order here. Worship, walk, and witness. Amen. And I want to say to you, my friend, that you'll never walk with God until you first know how to worship God. Old Abel had to sit at the feet of Jesus and worship Him. Son, I'll tell you, we've got such a glib idea of what worship is today. Southern Baptists, you know, you come to the church, they've got a little bulletin. You sing three songs, take up an offering. The preacher gets up and talks. I didn't say preach. He gets up and talks about 5 minutes and tells a joke and a poem. And the people leave the house of God in with a little old dinky prayer that the pastor reads out of a book. And they talk about going down to the church house and worshiping God. Buddy, that's bad. Independence ain't far behind them. That's right. I just might as well preach a little bit. You come to the house of God and sit like a stinking knot on a log. Hey, amen, Brother Hall. I tell you what. That's right. If you heard Brother Raines preach, I heard this part of it coming in. Thought he was telling about that little sheep and about the good shepherd. How the shepherd leads that little sheep beside the still waters. God prepares a table before him in the presence of his enemies. He's got goodness and mercy following him all the days of his life. He's going to dwell in the house of God forever. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let your heart. We've got a reason, something to come to the house of God and worship God Almighty enough. Hallelujah to God. He's a seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Abel was a worshiper of God. I told the Sunday school class this. I'm going to tell you this again. Abel was a worshiper of God, and Cain, his brother, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than his brother. That's right. I'm going to tell you what Cain did. He came as a worshiper of God. He clothed his rebellion in worship. That's right. He was rebellious, self-willed, strong-willed. That's right. Amen. With no humility, filled up with pride. Have it all my way. Do it my way. But he tried to worship God and wrap his rebellion or close his rebellion with worship, and it won't work.
Yeah,
boy. True. Brother Nolan calls it a wolf of howling.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what a lot of people do. Bless your heart. They can't worship God unless all eyes are upon them. I've seen God pass through this building before, and men and women be up shouting and running, praising God and worshiping God and praising God and having a time in God. And then when everything's done, somebody wants to show their little 2 cents worth where everybody can see what they're doing. You ain't worshiping God. You're pretending, buddy. That's right. That's why that you're lacked. That's why you can't walk with God. That's why you don't have the victory of God. That's why you without the blessings of God. It's because you're wrapping your rebellion with worship and trying to worship God by your own power and strength, and it cannot be done.
Amen.
That's right. Worship. Walk. Witness. That's right. Buddy, that just about puts a capstone on our evangelism for today. No wonder we're not seeing anybody. Hey, you're not going to witness to anybody till you've walked with God a while.
Amen.
That town out there that we live in, you live in, they're looking for somebody that's real, friend.
Amen.
You can't be a hypocrite and be a witness for God.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. You want to tell everybody in the community? You want to tell everybody in the community? How if they'll live for God, that God save their children, get their children in the house of God, you've raised a bunch of rebels. That's right. You tell me how you going to be a right kind of a witness for God and your family's a rebel. That's right. You trying to witness somebody, tell them how much God loves them. If they'll get saved, God will save their drunken, dope addict children, get their dope addict children in the house of God, and they know all of them. That's you're a hellion yourself down in the town. That's right. That's right. You trying to... Got to learn to walk with God. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. But he had this testimony that before this translation that he pleased God in what he done.
Amen.
That's right. Worshiping God and walking with God. Amen. If you'll ever learn to worship God and come in contact with His holiness.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
God's looking for some walkers. Come to the house of God and worship. I like that song Miss Hall sings. Come to the house of God and worship.
Amen.
Tell the man of God your troubles, for he's always there. That's right. And I want some of you to realize I am your pastor. And I've got more of a heart to be your pastor today than I've ever had since I've been preaching the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what you tell me in the secret. I ain't going to tell everybody else either. If it's something needs to be said in confidence, I want to be your pastor. That's right. Hallelujah to God. Worship. And then walk with God in the light of God's Word. Obedience to God's Word. Hiding that Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Okay. I'm going to tell you the reason women still wear their britches. They don't know how to worship God. Don't know how to walk with God, but don't know how to worship God. That's right. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Cussing and a ranting and a raving. Amen. Thank God. That's right. You can't witness until you've walked. And you can't walk, or you can't witness until you've walked, and you can't walk until you've worshipped, and that's God's order, and it'll be that way. Mark it down. God said it. That settles it. It will not be altered. It's like the council of the Medes and the Persians. It's in writing, and that's it. That's right. That's it. Now, I want to try to interpret the text if I can. And I believe the key to understanding these two verses of Scripture is found in verse number 5. I want you to read that verse with me. By faith, Enoch was, notice this word, translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, do you get how many times that word translate or translation is used in verse number 5? Folks, if God says something one time, hey, there's a lot of importance in God when He utters something once. But when God says it twice, you better bend in your ear. But when God dogmatically 3 times in one verse declares the same thing, buddy, God's getting ready to teach you something you better know something about.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the interpretation here, Enoch was translated.
Amen.
that he should not see death. Now, don't nobody leave me now. I'm going to try to teach you something this morning. There's two kinds of translation in the Bible. Number one, there is a salvation translation. That's right. He was translated by the power of God into salvation. If you read over in the book of Colossians chapter number 1, and I believe verse number 13, that God hath translated us out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. There is a salvation, a salvation translation that picks up an individual out of darkness and out of death and translates them into the kingdom of God's life and light. Hallelujah to God. I want to ask you that this morning. No wonder he pleased God. No wonder he walked with God. He had been saved. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, hey, it come to me this morning. I want everybody to look right up here. I want you to get this if you don't get anything else I said this morning. Brother, there's preachers all over the country that's setting down rules and regulations for their people to live by. You do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. And I'm telling you that if the Holy Ghost cannot make somebody walk right, some preacher is not going to do it either. You hear me well, buddy. When a child of God gets saved, born again, they'll live right by the grace of God. You don't have to beat them, drag them, whoop them, skin them, holler at them, browbeat them. They will just do right because they've been saved by the grace of God. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Well, hey, I've done made up my mind that you'll either do right because the Holy Ghost lives in your bosom, or you'll do wrong and ain't nothing I can do about it. I can't change it. I'm going to preach to you the Word of God, let the chips fall where they may. That's right, I'm going to preach light and truth to you. I'm going to do my best to send that light and truth to you to walk in. But honey, if you stay rebellious and full of sin and full of hell, that's between you and God, and there's nothing Brother Hall can do about it.
That's right.
That's right. Preacher's trying to make people live right. You can't going to do it. But the Holy Ghost can, and He will. And if you're rebellious to what that book teaches, you're yet in your sin, you're yet in darkness, you're yet bound in the fetters of death, and you're going to hell without God and without hope, and you need to be saved by the grace of God this morning. Amen. I hope you're getting something. I'm giving her my best. Hallelujah to God. There's a spiritual translation. I'll just read that. Some of y'all are looking kind of feeble. I'd like to call 911. He said in verse 12 of Colossians number 1, he said, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be, has made. He has made us. You didn't make yourself. You didn't get righteous yourself. You didn't make yourself right. You didn't make yourself pure. You didn't make yourself holy. He hath made us meet. The work of God, the work of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. I'm about to get excited. I'm going to tell you the Spirit of grace will do a work in your life that will make you pure and holy before God. And if you've never experienced that, you're yet in your sin and going to hell.
Amen.
Amen. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Somebody said, I've already been redeemed. We sang the song, I've been redeemed, and so have I. But I've got news for you yet. You've been bought, you've been paid for, but you've never experienced. You have in the mind of God, but you've never experienced redemption yet. We wait for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Redemption's yet coming, folks. Oh, hallelujah to God. Somebody said, how can we sing I've been redeemed? Because God declared it and said it, and that's final. It'll be that way. You can't alter it. Hallelujah to God. I'm a going to heaven. Amen. The devil can't change it, and I don't want to. Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's what I said. The devil can't change it. The world can't alter it. And I don't want to. I'm happy in Jesus today. Hallelujah to God. I don't have any sad story to tell you. I'm happy. I've been born again. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I have redemption assurance. I'm going to glory by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Now I'm not a going on your coattail. Now I'm not a going by baptism. I'm not going because I'm good. I'm a going because the blood of the Lamb has cleansed every stain. That's right. Hallelujah. Lord, no wonder God's kind of got you subdued. Son, if He opened you up, I'd die right here in the pulpit. I was having chest pains last night. Thought I was going to have a heart attack. Hallelujah. It's about that bad right now. But you know what? You know what I got to say about chest pains and a heart attack? What a way to go. Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's right. I know that's right. Translated. Hey, had this testimony before his translation. If you don't have the testimony of God before the translated, you'll never have the second translation. If you've never had salvation translation, you'll never have the second one. Somebody said, what is the second one? It's a spiritual translation. Well, I'm a-going up and up and up to be with Jesus. I'm a-going up in the twinkling of an eye. Woo! Now look here. There's a twofold interpretation to what the Bible is saying about Enoch. Enoch had been translated by salvation, by grace, but he also, before he ever seen death, the Bible said in Genesis 5 that Enoch walked with God and was not.
Amen.
For God took him.
Yes.
God took him. Ain't that going to be something one of these days God's going to take it?
Yes. Amen.
Well, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Yes. That's right. For this death shall, this body shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. And that's right. And then death shall be swallowed up in life. I'm telling you, we're out leaving this world someday. It may not be long in coming. Translated once when he was saved. But now look here. Enoch, walking with God before the flood, was translated. He is a type of the saints of God in the rapture that we're getting ready to see take place. Noah is a type of the Jews that went through the tribulation period on the ark of safety and made it to the other side. Enoch went up. Noah went through it. But they all made it by the grace of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then, now I want nobody to leave me now. We find there is translation. But I also see in these verses, I see Enoch's testing. I see his testing. Before he was translated, he had this testimony that he walked with God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it was by his faith that he pleased God. But during that time, now don't nobody leave me now. During that time, it said, by faith, Enoch was translated. Nobody's ever had faith that they wasn't tested. That the trial of your faith being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with silver, though it be tried with fire, it shall be as silver and gold. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? Your faith, Enoch's faith was tested. He gave birth to, I think, to Methuselah when he was 65 years old, and he lived after the birth of Methuselah, I believe, 300 years, and he was not, for God took him, and I believe it was during them 300 years that God tested and tried the faith of Enoch. You hear me well this morning, buddy. If you've been saved by the grace of God, God's going to test and try you. Amen. If you've got faith, God's going to test your faith. See what it's made out of. See if it's flimsy, cardboard, soft, mushy, or if it's something that will stand in the fire. God's going to find out if you dross or if you gold.
Amen.
And that's right. And if you gold, He's going to purify and refine the gold to make it pure. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which shall try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you.
Amen.
What do you think is going on in your life right now? By the way, what's wrong with you this morning? It's like you lost your best friend. Amen.
Yes,
family back there ought to be doing cartwheels and handstands. Was it getting quiet?
Amen.
You think God ain't going to test you and try you a little bit?
Amen.
You think He's going to let you slide by on the street of ease, friend, without testing your faith, pruning you, purging you, getting the sin and the dross out of your life? You think you're going to make it without a little sin, without a little suffering and sorrow and heartache and grief? You might as well hang it up, go on home now and quit.
Right.
I'm preaching tonight on ninny-sucking breath babies that need to grow up. You ain't kidding, mother. Hey, man, Brother Halton, I said I don't like it. I didn't expect you to. His testing, his translation, his testing. But he had a testimony that he pleased God. Let me ask you something more. What kind of a testimony do you have today? Is your testimony, is it one that pleases God? Buddy, I'm telling you, somebody in here is puffed up bad. I'll let the air out of you. See him in about 2 minutes, too. Amen. He had a testimony. Now, don't nobody leave me. His testimony was for those that lived without, that they might see something in the life of Enoch that they didn't see in everybody else.
Amen.
Now, I've got to my message. I'm going to preach a message. I've got 5 little points, and I won't elaborate on them. I'm through the most of it. The introduction was the most of it. If there's 3 things about Enoch in these chapters, boy, I'll take you and get a hold of them the way I have. It'll help you. I believe it will. Look in verse number 5. He said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. I see there, by faith, I see Enoch's virtues. He had faith. You know it said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. That's right. And faith is the substance. It is the basic foundation of your Christian life. It is the first virtue that you will ever have in God. Is your faith. And by faith, old Enoch walked with God. That's right. He had the virtue of faith. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can I walk? How can I walk with God and please God? It's by faith. Every day, getting up in the morning, burning the bridges behind you, crucifying the old man, and by faith, just believing God will walk with you arm in arm throughout the day. That's right.
Amen.
Now, I don't mean to sound mean this morning, church, but I believe it's led down to this. Now, I'm going to have to say it. I'm telling you, Brother Hall, patience kind of wore thin with some of you. Some of y'all still living like you've lost your best friend.
Really?
Like God died yesterday.
Right.
Amen. And you're struggling trying to walk with God and live for God. I'm telling you, it's got to be done by faith. You just got to get up and believe God.
Amen.
That He is. And that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You're not going to do it any other way. That's right. By faith, face up to things, hope for any evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. By it we believe that the worlds that then were created. And they subsist by things which we do not see. Faith. That's right. Amen. Now the just shall live by faith. We're justified by faith. It is a life of faith. Believing God, reaching out beyond that which your natural eye can see and lay a hold upon the invisible of God. And pulling it into your bosom. And cherishing it. And being persuaded of it. And walking with God. By that same faith every day. Every day. By faith. So Enoch had that virtue of faith. Now look here. He had a virtue of hope. He said down there in verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Why do you think he was seeking God if he didn't have any hope? What are you doing here this morning? There's a New Testament term and an old preaching term that preachers don't use. It's called the comers. That come to God. They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently. Don't you have that hope this morning? Surely to goodness. You have the hope. You have hope that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you don't have that hope, why on earth are you here? Son, my hope reaches out a whole lot further. Other than what I saw this morning with my naked eye when I woke up. That's right. And I know Miss Hall's hope is a whole lot deeper than what she saw when she woke up, because she saw me. Hair standing on edge. Bottom denture plate out of my mouth, and them tusks are sticking up, look like a walrus. Day and a half growth of beard on my face, look like Sasquatch, the caveman. I guarantee you, when Miss Hall woke up and looked at me, she said, "Thank God, he'll get better someday." Woo! I said all that to say this: you can look at the world around you and say, "Thank God, it'll get better someday." Someday, some happy day. Someday, from sin set free. Someday, some happy day. Someday, I'll live with Christ for a. Someday, some happy day. Woo! It'll change one of these days, buddy. There's a change a coming. Hallelujah to God. Oh, Brother Job said, "I'm just going to wait until my change takes place." There's a change a coming. I've got that hope. God wanted to do with my glasses. Oh, faith and hope. He said he must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So he had the virtue of faith, had the virtue of hope. The Bible said now about these three. Now look up here at me. These three are just like the order I mentioned. You can't have one without the other. Faith, hope, and charity. You just can't have faith without having hope and charity. And neither can you have charity without first having hope and faith. And you can't have hope without having charity on the right hand and faith on the left. Oh, I'm about to get excited. I'm just about to get excited. That's right. Amen. Look here. Amen. Hope in God's walking down the middle of the road. And on the left hand, I got faith. On the right hand, I got the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart by the gift of the Holy Ghost, which was given unto me. That's right. Amen. Y'all hear me? I've been married. That's to the Son of God. I got wedded one day. Hallelujah. I've got a husband. I got wedded one day. Glory to God. I've got a husband who loves me and cares for me. Provides for me. Sustains me. You'll get one too, Sharon. Miss Ruth, you'll get one. You want one. If you don't, you won't. God said He'd give you the desires of His heart. Your heart. If you believe the Bible.
Yes,
you want one. If you don't, He won't give you one. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to say it. I wouldn't want none of these little kids around here to get the idea, because we got two ladies in the church that ain't been married with. I wouldn't want none of these little kids around here to get the idea that they shouldn't have a desire to get a wife or a husband when they grow up. Amen. I want you to know, and I'm going to tell you that, buddy. Your eyeball, it is God's will for every man and every woman to get married. He set that order in Genesis when He brought Eve to Adam. That's right. That's right. When He took Eve out of Adam's rib and brought that woman to her man, it's God's will for a woman to marry, be a keeper of home, be a chaste virgin at home. Hallelujah to God. God wants every man and every woman to be married. That's God's plan. And if I catch somebody here running around telling these young girls and boys that they don't need a husband or they don't need a wife, I'm going to bust your stinking hide good. Amen. Every little girl playing with a doll baby wants to grow up and have a live one. It's like that in Sarah's holding right now. I guarantee you, these visions of rapture dancing around in Sarah's head. She just can't wait to the day that God, that's life. Hallelujah. The God, and it ought to be that way. Somebody said, Brother Hall, that's vulgar and wrong. No, that's right. Son, every woman's got hats. Old Jason told me that. You don't mind me saying this, do you, Jason? Well, Jason told me the other day, he said, get a good job and get the money. He said, looks like I'm going to be getting engaged.
Man.
I say, man!
Yeah,
every young man ought to have a woman. Every young woman ought to have a man. One man, one woman for life. Get one, keep one, live with one. Hallelujah to God. That's the way God wants it today.
Right.
Amen, Brother Jerry.
Amen.
Charity. If he had faith, he had hope. Now, if there's somebody said, where do you get charity there? Well, he couldn't have two of them without the other one to start with.
Right. Amen.
And look here. Why would he seek after something that didn't love him? And something he didn't love. They that come to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's right. Amen. Miss Hall gets up and studies early in the morning, every Sunday morning, well, every morning. And I generally sleep to about 7, sometimes 8 o'clock. And I'll probably sleep later than that in the morning because my back and stuff, I just have, when I preach 2 and 3 times Sunday, I have a hard day, buddy, the next day, and I'm having a hard time. Right now, I'm in pain, but I'm going to preach anyway. So Miss Hall gets up, and she'll do her studying, and in a little while, she'll head up them stairs, and she'll go to her bedroom, and she'll start. She didn't get dressed earlier, she'll get dressed. And you can ask her if I'm lying to you. I'll be down there studying, and the thought will come across me, where's she at? And buddy, and I'll get up and head up them stairs. I walk to that bedroom door and shove that bedroom door open. She'll say, I'm still here.
Amen.
That's right. I walk in the house. And she can be in the laundry room ironing clothes. That's when she prays for me, by the way. It's when she irons my shirts. She can be in there ironing my shirts. And I can be sitting in the house or up somewhere. And I'll just get out of the blue. I'll just get up and start walking down. I'll walk around and look around. Sometimes she'll tell her, I'll just stand there in the door and watch her. Somebody said, why? She's my bride. She's my sweetheart. Don't you know that God wants to Enoch walk with God and was not? I'm going to tell you what, buddy. It wasn't so much that old Enoch was a walking with God. Y'all get this now? This is true. It was that God wouldn't let Enoch out of God's sight. Where you at, Enoch?
Amen.
He loves you. He loved Enoch. I'm telling you, that is the virtue of charity. That's right. Our Lord, our husband loves his bride. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Man, I know that's right. Woo! I'm telling you, I've been married to Miss Hall so long, I can smell her. I smell her perfume. I can smell her when she ain't got perfume. Honey, I'll just get my boy in trouble. My boy come up to our house one day, and the pillow's laying there at the bed, and he picked up a pillow for something. He said, this is Daddy's pillow. This is Mama's pillow. I said, how do you know? He said, they smell different.
That's right.
That's right. Hey, everybody look right up here at me. Whew. Son, God's a being good right now.
Amen.
Woo! I mean, this has all come from the Holy Ghost. Hey, how do you think a little old puppy dog, or a little old rabbit, or a little old animal, when they're first born, before they get their eyes open, how do you think they get to that good milk from mama?
Amen.
Woo! I'm going to
don't say how. They smelled mama. They smelled the milk. That's right. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, they love their abundant love that cannot be broken between God and his youngins. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. Boy, I've got to hurry. Now look here. Now I'm about done. His virtues. But I see here, not only virtues, but I see his victory. His victory. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. If that ain't victory, I don't know what it is. Now, I don't have time. He had victory over sin. We done went through that. That he should not see death. I mean, the wages of sin is death. But he was translated that he should not see death, so he was saved. He had victory over sin. Now, I'm not going to tarry too long on this, or some of you would have a heart attack. But Enoch had victory over society. Won't everybody look right up here at me? I tried my best to figure it up. Enoch didn't die long before Noah was born. You know how the world was in Noah's day? Corrupt, full of violence. But in all the corruption and all the violence, so Enoch just walked with God. Like a tree it's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Sir, I want to invite you to the house of God Sunday. Well, I'm sorry. The Wildcats play. I'm going to shoot some golf. I'm going to the house of God.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, I don't need the stinking world.
Amen.
That's right. I don't need the world. I ain't going to say too much about that because I want to preach tonight on being weaned from the world.
That's right.
Tick. And they're in the center of the ring. Green. Sucking the world's little old breath.
That's right. Amen.
Let me tell you something, friend. At the twinkling of an eye, she'll all be gone. She'll be gone! Victory. Somebody said, I can't have victory. Too much sin in the world. Can't nobody keep you from having victory but you. You can have it, friend. I feel like I got a little taste of them this morning. I've had more fun this morning in the world I've had in 1,000 lifetimes.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Elliot Smith called me last night. Said, how's things are going, preacher? I said, couldn't be better. I said, last Sunday, I said, it got so far out of the banks. I said, Brother Jerry looked like a penguin running around. I said, he told me, he went, jumped up one time, said he's going to run till he died. Old Brother Smith just laughed and laughed and laughed. He said, did you run some? I said, I tried. But I said, there's a couple of them fellas running some that are like greyhound dogs. I can't keep up with them boys. I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Buddy, that's my joy.
Amen.
That's my pleasure. Seeing some poor old sinner get saved by the grace of God. Brought out of the slums, out of the dives, out of hell, out of all that wickedness. Amen. See them come to the house of God and act like they're enjoying what's going on. That's my joy. Therefore, fulfill ye my joy. Hallelujah to God. That's what Paul said. That's my joy, buddy. That's right. Knowing you enjoying what's going on in the house of God. Victory. But now notice, not only his virtues and his victory. Notice in verse number 6, but without God, faith it is impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them. He also had a vision.
Amen.
Now, said they that come to God. Now you're not going to come to God without having a vision of God. I want everybody to look right up here, and I'm closing in a minute. But I want you to get a hold of this. Preacher can tell you everything you need to know about God. And you can read everything out of every book that's ever been printed. about God. But you're not going to have a vision of God until God shows you God. Can I tell what you said? This is a day of telling on everybody, brother. Old brother Stevie back there come in here the other night, and he said, we were sitting in there. He sat down on that chair and he looked over at me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "a man can't get saved but one time, can he?" I said, "That's all, just one time." He said, "I'm telling you," he said, "I don't mean to brag now." He said, "I'm not bragging. But," he said, "something happened to me yesterday." He said, "I don't know what it was." He said, "If I didn't know I was already saved," he said, "I'd honestly believe to God I got saved all over again." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "I couldn't pray." He said, "I just had to kind of walk around and just awe-stricken. Said I couldn't even talk, couldn't say nothing. Said I just..." He said, "It just hit me like a ton of brick. Just like somebody just slapped me upside the head." I said, "Well, what? Here's what I said. What'd you see from God? You know, vision, see. What'd you see?" He said, "For the first time in my life," he said, "I saw that salvation is totally of God." He said, "And if God," he said, "if God reprobates me and I go to hell, man, what can I do about it?"
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen. God saves me. What can I do to get saved then? Further, he said, "For the first time," he said, "just like a light went on, and for the first time, boy," he said, "I saw it, that salvation is all of God. There ain't nothing I can do. If God don't do it, it won't get done. It's all God." Now look here, here's my point I'm making. Stevie had a personal experience with God. He saw something. Steve now is not relying upon something I'm telling him. He's not relying upon something he read in a book. First-hand experience from the hand of God. I'm going to ask you that this morning. Have you had that first-hand experience?
Amen.
Have you encountered God and experienced grace?
Amen.
You have a vision. Have you come to God and have you believed that He is?
Amen.
You know what that means? They that come to God must believe that He is. Simply means that you've got to believe God's real. Do you believe God's real, or do you just believe He's a figment of somebody's imagination, something that somebody concocted and some a fictitious character that men sat down and wrote in a book about? No, He's real. Somebody said, "Where did He come from?" Nowhere. He didn't have any place to come from. I'd say y'all ain't in for this. Where did He come from? How long has He been here? A long time. God, I'm about ready to... He's real, folks. Seek Him. Hunt Him. Search for Him. Look for Him. God's real. "They that seek Me all, they shall find Me." Had a vision. And then I see His voice. He said He had this testimony. He had to have a voice. Oh, Enoch had something to say to society around him, buddy. Enoch walked with God while the rest of that crowd was wickeder than the devil. He was just walking with God. He had something to say, to be heard. And by the way, if you'll read the book of Jude, you'll see there that Enoch prophesied of the ungodly generation that he lived in. Sure did. While that generation was ungodly and walking for the devil and headed for hell, old Enoch was just walking on cloud nine, about like I am this morning. headed for heaven. And then, I'll close with this, and ain't much else got nothing out of you this morning.
Praise.
Well, it's got a lot. Some of you's laughed and cried. And, well, I believe it's got a lot out of you. I believe it has.
The
Bible said that before his death, he had this testimony to please God. It said, by faith, he was translated that he should not see death. That last V I put down this morning for alliteration's sake is Enoch's vacation.
Yeah.
Woo! I read in the paper the other day, and I'm not complaining. I got a good salary. I thank God for it. Said they interviewed some preachers. The majority of them at the interview said that they felt like for their profession, they were underpaid. Well, if them egg suckers would look at how sorry they are, they'd probably think that they're overpaid.
Amen.
Most of us, we ought to be on bread and water. Sorry as we are. That's right. Sorry. I don't deserve what God's done for me. But there's an old saying said, being a preacher don't pay much. But his retirement plan's out of this world.
Amen.
Son, we are going out one of these days, folks. If you've got the virtue, the victory, and the vision, and the vice, you're going for a vacation someday.
Far
out. To be with God.
Amen.
By faith. And it was all by faith. The question of it is this morning, do you have the faith that Enoch had to walk with God?
Amen.
If you do, that means you first worshipped. Now you're walking, and you can be a witness as Noah.
God,
let's stand together.